Howdy, howdy! This is Lily from Madecraft Game, and you're listening to Reading Rulebooks. Now, I've been kind of gone for a bit. Life got really busy in 2024, and I just kind of fell off the wagon. But there's still some Reiner Knizia games that I want to cover, so I'm continuing Season 3. And today's Knizia game is Stevenson's Rocket. Game Rules Introduction. On September 15th, 1830, the age of the railroad began with the opening of the first line between Liverpool and Manchester. The locomotive that ruled those rails was George Stephenson's Rocket. With a top speed of 45 kilometers per hour, 28 miles per hour, Rocket was the most advanced engine of the day, and its arrival marked the beginning of the modern railway. In Stephenson's Rocket, players take on the role of rail barons in 1830s England. By investing in various new line rails, transporting passengers, and building up the local industries, players will vie for the honor of becoming the most prestigious rail baron in the early days of the steam locomotive. Game content. In 4-player colors, 32 player markers, 72 industry cubes, 28 stations, 7 wooden locomotives, 7 plastic locomotives to replace the wooden locomotives, a game board, 4 player boards, 60 double-sided regular track tiles, 12 double-sided connector tiles, 2 lines, 4 double-sided connector tiles, 3 lines, 9 passenger pawns, 12 city indicator cubes, 6 X signs. Game setup. 1. Place the game board in the middle of the table. On the right side, it shows you parts of England at the dawn of the rail age. You see hexagonal areas where track tiles will be placed during the game. Also note the 7 starting towns where the various rail lines began, in bright colors, 12 cities, London, Sheffield, Brighton, etc., and 9 other railway towns, Leeds, Oxford, Swindon. On the left side, the board depicts a city investment chart for the 12 cities, top, the share tracks, and share tracks for the 7 rail lines, bottom. 2. Place the locomotives on their starting towns by matching their colors to their spaces. The directions the locomotives face does not matter at this point. Each player now selects a color to play with and collects all the pieces matching that color. 1 player board, 8 player markers, 7 stations, and 18 industry cubes. 3. Each player places 1 player marker with the +10 face side down on the 0 step of each of the share tracks for the 7 rail lines. 4. Each player places the final player marker with the +100 side face down on the 0 to 100 step of the prestige track that surrounds the left side of the board. 5. Each player places their station and industry cubes on the place allocated for them on their player board. 6. Place the 12 city indicator cubes besides the board near the city investment chart. 7. Place the 9 passenger pawns and the 6 X signs near the board in easy reach of all players. 8. Place the 60 track tiles near the board in easy reach of all players. 9. Place the 16 connector tiles near the board in easy reach of all players, but separate from the 60 regular track tiles. Randomly select a starting player. An image example of the game setup can be found on pages 2 and 3 of the rulebook. Overview. The aim of Stevenson's Rocket is to score prestige, stars. The player with the most prestige points at the end of the game will be considered the greatest of the investors vying for influence over the early days of the rail age. During the game, players will receive shares in the different rail lines after paying to extend them. These shares can be used as bids to influence the future direction of the lines. Stevenson's Rocket is a building game, but it is also a bidding game. Players will attempt to gain prestige by gaining shares in the rail lines, and by investing in the infrastructure of the rail lines. They will do this by erecting stations, carrying passenger pawns, and building up the local industries that depend on the young rail lines for future success. Build and prosper, but be wary of the all-powerful veto that may remove your influence in a puff of smoke. Playing the game. Beginning with the starting player and proceeding clockwise around the table, each player must take two actions on their turn, taken from the following list of actions. Players may take two separate actions or the same action twice, with the following exception. A player may not choose to extend the same line twice on their turn. The three possible player actions are A. Extend a rail line, thereby increasing its reach and affluence, as well as the player's influence upon it. B. Invest in industries of the various cities that the rail lines may be connected to, thereby increasing a line's, and therefore the player's, wealth. C. Build a station in an attempt to make a rail line more popular and lucrative. Once again, please note that players may choose to do the same action twice on their turn, but if the extend a rail line action is taken twice, the player must choose two different rail lines to extend. Let's talk about the actions in a little more detail. A. Extending a rail line. This action is arguably the most common one taken by players during the game. There are four steps that must be followed for this action to be completed. These steps are 1. Move a locomotive on the board. 2. Possible veto by other players. 3. Place a track tile on the board. And possibly, 4. Receive a passenger pawn. The steps in more detail. 1. Move a locomotive. The first step for a player choosing to extend a line is to move one of the locomotives on the player board into an adjacent hex. From its starting town, a locomotive may be moved into any adjacent hex following the placement rules below. But on all future turns, a locomotive may only be moved into one of three hexes in front of the locomotive, either straight ahead or in a slight curve to the left or right. The locomotive must be placed in its new hex, with its rear facing the hex from which it came. When moving a locomotive, it can never be moved into a hex that contains a city, any town, a track tile, or another locomotive. A locomotive can be moved into a space containing a player's station. Moving a locomotive into a hex with a station will link that station to the rail line. Once the locomotive has been moved, the player receives one share of the corresponding rail line. To denote this, the player must move their player marker on the corresponding share track one space forward. If a player ever reaches the end of a share track, simply flip their player marker over to the plus 10 side and return it to the beginning of the share track, remembering that they have 10 more shares than the number shown on the space that the player marker sits on. Example: it is the brown player's turn. They choose to move the L and Y locomotive, which can move in three possible directions. The brown player declares that they intend to move the locomotive into a space containing another player's station, which may grant the brown player a passenger pawn. The brown player gains one share in the L and Y Railroad for extending its rail line, and marks this by moving their marker up one space on the L and Y share track. Come back to this example in a little bit. 2. Possible veto. After the active player has decided where they are moving the selective locomotive, and they have received their share in that rail line, any other player who has at least one share in the corresponding rail line may call a veto round. The veto round may change the direction in which the selected locomotive is moving, but it cannot stop the selective locomotive from moving at all. When called, a veto round begins with the player to the left of the active player, the player who moved the locomotive, and goes once around the table. Each player may, in turn, bid any number of their shares in the corresponding rail line, and, at the same time, reposition the locomotive to any of the allowed hexes, including the hex the locomotive currently sits on. Each subsequent bid made by a player must be higher than the previous bid. No player is required to bid, not even the player who called the veto round. The active player will always bid last, and unlike the other player's bids, the active player needs only equal the previous highest bid to reposition the locomotive and win the veto bid. Whichever player wins the bid must then pay the shares they bid by moving their player marker down on the corresponding share track. All other players keep the shares they bid. 3. Place a track tile. Finally, the active player places a track tile on the hex that the locomotive has just left, unless it was the locomotive's starting town. Like cities and railway towns, The starting towns do not count as part of the line and cannot have tracks placed upon them. The tile should be placed straight or curbside up so that the extended line is now connected with the locomotive. There should never be a track tile in the same hex as the locomotive itself. If the vacated spot contained a station, the track tile is placed under the station. Depending on where the locomotive moved to, players may be rewarded with prestige. We'll talk about this in the scoring prestige during the game section below. 4. Receive a passenger pawn. If the active player moves the locomotive into a hex that contains another player's station, they receive a passenger pawn, which is placed in the corresponding space on their player board. If there is a veto round, the active player only takes the passenger pawn if they won the veto. Players are only ever awarded passenger pawns on their own turn. The number of passenger pawns in the game are limited. Once all 9 passenger pawns have been collected, no more are awarded. More on the importance of stations and passenger pawns later. Example continued. A veto is called by the blue player, who repositions the LNY locomotive to a new hex. The blue player wins the veto after bidding 3 shares, and pays this amount by moving their player marker on the LNY share track 3 spaces to the left. Having won the veto, the locomotive is now in the position indicated by the blue player during the veto round. Due to the blue player's decision, the locomotive has moved straight ahead, thereby missing the station and the active player's chance to earn a passenger pawn. Finally, a track tile is placed in the space that the locomotive moved out of. B. Investing in industries. To invest in the industries of the various cities around the board, the active player simply places one of their industry cubes on any available place on the city investment chart, located on the left-hand side of the board. The various industries are ordered by city and industry type. Placed industry cubes can never be moved during the game, nor can 2 industry cubes sit on a single space. If a player runs out of industry cubes, they may use a substitute cube. The supply is not intended to be limited. Example, the blue player chooses to invest in steel, placing one of their industry markers on the space in Sheffield. C. Building a station. When taking this action, the active player places one of their stations on the board. The player may use any of their stations yet to be placed, or they may move one of their stations already placed on the board to a new location. Stations may not be placed on towns, cities, or hexes containing track tiles, locomotives, or other stations. Also, stations may not be placed on hexes adjacent to locomotives or other stations. In other words, when placing a station, the hex it is placed on must be empty, and it must be at least one hex away from a locomotive or another station. The icons on your player board will remind you of these restrictions. Example, the brown player chooses to build a station and places one of their station pieces onto the board. The red X marks in the example image on page 6 show where the station may not be placed, due to other pieces or features already on the game board. Scoring prestige during the game. To win the game, a player needs to score the most prestige points. Scoring prestige points, stars, occurs during the game and at the end of the game. During the game, scoring can occur in 3 different ways. After a rail line is connected to a railway town, or when 2 rail lines merge. When scoring, players advance their player markers along with the prestige track accordingly. A. Connecting to a city. If, at the end of the player's action, a locomotive has been moved into a space adjacent to a city, players who have invested in that city's industries will score prestige points. The player who has invested the most in that city's industry, the player with the most industry cubes against that city on the city investment chart, at the time the locomotive is connected to the city, scores 2 prestige points. The player with the second most industry cubes against that city receives 1 prestige point. The icons on your player board will remind you of this. Note, if the same rail line connects again to the same city a second scoring does not take place. If no players have invested in the city's industries at the time of scoring, no scoring occurs. We'll talk about the resolution of ties in a later section. The first time that a rail line connects to a city indicator cube should be placed on the space next to the city's name on that city investment chart. This will aid players when prestige points are scored at the end of the game. Example: if a locomotive is placed next to Sheffield, the blue player will receive 2 prestige points for having 2 cubes invested and being the player with the most cubes, and the brown player will receive 1 prestige point for having 1 cube invested in Sheffield. No other players are invested. B. Connecting to a town. If, at the end of a player's action, a locomotive has been moved into a space adjacent to a railway town, players who have the most stations on that line will score prestige points. The player who has the most stations on the line at the time it connects to the railway town scores 1 prestige point for every city and every starting and railway town connected to, directly adjacent to, the entire line. The player with the second most stations on the line scores half this amount of prestige points. The icons on your player board will remind you of this. Note: if the same rail line connects again to the same railway town, a second scoring does not take place. If no players have placed stations on the line at the time of scoring, no scoring occurs. For the resolution of ties, see below. Example: the purple LNY rail line connects to the town Derby. Brown has the majority of stations along the LNY rail line, so the brown player scores 4 prestige points for the features indicated, while the blue player scores 2 prestige points, half of the majority score. C. Merging two rail lines. If, at the end of a player's action, a locomotive has been placed into a space adjacent to another rail line, either one of its track tiles or its locomotive, the two rail lines merge. Note: a locomotive may never be moved into a space adjacent to 2 or more rail lines. The rail line of the locomotive that has just been moved and caused the merger is dissolved. The player with the most shares in the dissolved rail line scores 1 prestige point for every city and every starting and railway town connected to, directly adjacent to, the entire line. The player with the second most shares in the dissolved rail line scores half this amount in prestige points. After scoring, the active player removes the locomotive from the board and places it with a track tile, thereby connecting both lines. After scoring, the active player removes the locomotive from the board and replaces it with a track tile, thereby connecting both lines. Both lines are now considered part of the same line. A connector tile may be used to visually join the merged rail lines together. When a connector tile is used to replace a tile during a merge, the replaced tile must be removed from the game. This will ensure that no more than 60 track tiles will ever be placed on the board. Every player who has shares in the dissolved rail line must then trade them for shares in the surviving rail line at the rate of 2-for-1. For every 2 shares in the dissolved rail line that the players have, the player receives 1 share in the surviving rail line, and move their player markers on the corresponding share tracks to denote this. Single shares in the dissolved rail line are lost. The player markers on the dissolved rail line share track should now be removed from the board. An X sign is placed on this rail line share track to signify its dissolution. Note: when a locomotive's movement trigger more than one type of scoring, proceed in the order listed above. First, cities, then railway towns, then mergers. The icons on your player board will remind you of the steps involved with merging two rail lines. Ties. In the case of a tie for any of the above scoring opportunities, if there is a tie for first place, add the rewards for first and second place together, and then share the prestige points evenly among the tied players, rounded down. If there is a single player in first place, but a tie for second place, share the prestige points reward for second place evenly among the tied players, rounded down. Example: it's Pink's turn. They move the blue GER locomotive forward and merge it with the green rail line. As the locomotive's movement connects its rail line to a city, Cambridge, a prestige point for connecting to that city will occur before the merger takes place. The pink player has the highest value of shares in the dissolved blue rail line, so they receive 3 prestige points, one for the starting town, one for the railway town, and one for the city that the blue rail line was connected to. The white player has the next highest value of shares in the blue rail line and receives 1 prestige point, half of the amount rounded down. The blue locomotive is removed from the board and its rail line is dissolved. A red X is placed over the blue share track to denote this. New rail tiles are placed to merge the 2 rail lines into one. Note, replaced tiles are discarded from the game, not returned to the supply. Lastly, any players with shares in the dissolved blue rail line receives 1 stock in the remaining green rail line for every 2 stock they had in the dissolved rail line, rounding down. This gives pink 2 green shares for their 5 blue, and white 1 green share for their 2 blue. Connector tiles. Connector tiles are used to join 2 rail lines during a merger. 2 lines. These lines are used when 2 rail lines merge. 3 lines. These tiles are used on the rare occasion when a future merger occurs on the same hex of a previous merger. These lines are used on the rare occasion when a future merger occurs on the same hex as a previous merger. Note, when using connector tiles to replace regular tiles during a merge, the tile being replaced is discarded from the game and not returned to the supply. Isolated rail lines. During the game, if a locomotive cannot be linked to any further starting towns, railway towns, or cities, and if it cannot be merged with another rail line, then the rail line is to be considered isolated. Players keep their shares in isolated rail lines, and they may still choose to extend an isolated rail line. But no new shares are ever awarded for extending an isolated rail line, even if the line can be legally extended. To show that a rail line is isolated, place an X sign on the rail line share track as a reminder that shares are not awarded. Example, the purple LNY rail line started in the top left corner of the board, looped around Manchester, and is heading back to that top left corner. There are no more starting towns, railway towns, or cities that it can connect to, so it is considered isolated. Game end. The game will immediately end after the active player's turn if either of the following criteria are met. 1. Only one rail line is still able to award shares, meaning 6 of the 7 rail lines are either dissolved or isolated. Or 2. There are no more track tiles left in the supply, meaning all 60 track tiles have been placed on the board. Note, connector tiles are not counted. Players then proceed to the final scoring and determine the winner. Any ties are resolved as described in the previous section. Scoring prestige at the end of the game. A. Passenger pawns. Players will be awarded prestige points for moving the most passenger pawns around England. Just as with scoring industries, the player who has collected the most passenger pawns during the game scores 6 prestige points. The player with the second most receives 3 prestige points. The icons on your player board will remind you of this. Industries. Players will be awarded prestige points for investing in the different industries across England. First, any industry cube against cities that were never connected to any rail line during the game are removed from the city investment chart. These cities will be the ones without a city indicator next to their name on the city investment chart. Then, each type of industry is scored in turn: steel, textiles, brewing, and leather. The player with the most industry cubes placed under each industry, by looking down each column on the city investment chart, scores 6 prestige points. The player with the second most scores 3 prestige points. The icons on the main game board and on your player board will remind you of this. Then, prestige points are awarded for the shares and stations of each rail line that has not been dissolved. Players should score one rail line at a time. See Stations. The player who has the most stations on a rail line scores one prestige point for every city and every starting and railway town connected to, on, or directly adjacent to the entire line. The player with the second most stations on the line scores half the amount of prestige points. The icons on your player board will remind you of this. D. Shares. Also, the player who has the most shares in a rail line scores one prestige point for every city, railway town, and starting town connected to, directly adjacent to, the entire line. The player with the second most shares in the rail line scores half this amount of prestige points. The icons on the main game board and on your player board will remind you of this. Winning the game. The winner of the game is a player with the most prestige points. In the case of a tie for first place, the tie players are joint winners. Expansion content. The following rules are for playing the Eastern USA and China maps, which are available for purchase as a double-sided expansion board. Once you have played Stevenson's Rocket on the England map, try these other maps for a different experience. Playing on the USA map. Earning prestige and wielding power in the early days of the railroad in the United States was a totally different proposition. The population distribution, industrial needs, and terrain brought its own challenges to those who decided where the rails would be laid. Do you have what it takes to be a rail baron on the East Coast of the USA? Setup and play. Setup and play is identical to the England map. Take note of the following hints. 1. There are more industries to invest in: cattle, coal, cotton, grain, manufacturing goods, and steel. But note that there are only 6 opportunities to invest in each industry, instead of 9 in England. So the competition to claim these investments may be fiercer. 2. The orientation of the hexes on the map is different, thereby changing the speed at which the locomotives will travel long distances. Playing on the China map. Do you have what it takes to be a rail baron in the world's most populous nation? Setup and play. On the reverse of the Eastern USA map, you will find a map of Eastern China. Setup and play is identical to the England map. Take note of the following hint. There are more industries to invest in: coal, cotton, livestock, manufacturing goods, petrochemicals, and steel. But note that there are only 6 opportunities to invest in each industry, instead of 9 in England, so the competition to claim these investments may be fiercer. The back of the rulebook has a bit of a cheat sheet for scoring during the game and scoring at the end of the game, as well as what to do with ties and which symbols are connected to each action, if you want kind of a quick overview. And that is the rulebook for Stevenson's Rocket. This is a train game. I think that was probably apparent through most of this episode. I really enjoy Stevenson's Rocket because it doesn't have some of the intimidation that an 18XX game might bring, even though it has a kind of similar map. Its playstyle is very different, and it has a lot more shared incentives among players. For the map itself, there's an interesting balance between giving your opponent a station in order to gain a passenger pawn for yourself, and also where you push the train depending on what cities you've invested in. More than likely, you'll want to push the rail towards the cities that you have cubes in because that will give you more points. However, one thing that's really interesting is the merge. Now, merging the lines seems like it wouldn't have that big of an impact to me. It's just like, okay, you merge the lines, whatever. But you're actually doubling or potentially tripling the amount of cities along that rail. So if purple has a score of 3 and merges into red, which also has a score of 3, Red now has a score of 6, which will be 7 the next time it hits a rail line, which shows how powerful the map is. While investing in industries is important, stations, I think, are more lucrative because the amount of points given are less restrictive. Connecting to the city gets you 2 or 1 point, whereas connecting to a town gets you however many's on the rail line. And at the end of the game, that number can be very big. I know when I first opened this game and I saw the plus 100 marker, I was like, that's never going to happen. And it still hasn't. But we've gotten close. Closer than I anticipated. And I'm sure someone has reached over 100. I can easily see how they could do that in this game. But I feel like you'd have to be kind of dominating, which may happen. The other really interesting thing is the share depletion when a company is merged. Going from 2 to 1 shares feels like you're giving up something, and you are. So hopefully, if you're the one merging the line, you're getting the most value out of it. And if someone else is merging the line, maybe consider vetoing. I know sometimes I will veto for however many shares gets me to an even number, because that share is going to be lost anyway. So I might as well control it, or at least make somebody else pay for it. There are little ways like that you can kind of mess with other players without sacrificing your own position. I will admit, I've never really interacted with the passenger pawns. I'm really bad at getting them, mainly because I focus way too much on investments, and it doesn't really work out for me as well. But I would say there is no action in this game that isn't worth taking. I do think that moving the rail lines is the most powerful action, because not only do you control the direction of the train, you also get shares, and at the end of the day, you get to control what type of city it goes to, whether that is a city or a railway town. The game also mentioned isolating trains. I have not seen this that often. I can see easily how you could do it, though. I have seen players do this when a train looks like it's going to be lucrative and they don't want it to be. I've seen players do this when they can see a merge coming in 2 rounds and they want to hedge their bets now. But at the same time, by isolating that rail, you're giving up something on either side of the rail line, whether it's the one that you came from or the one that's getting merged into. If you have no investments in either of those, then that's a totally different story. All in all, I really enjoy this game. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty simple, so it doesn't get too overwhelming. The actions are really straightforward. Sometimes the restrictive train movements can be a little bit difficult. Knowing that you can only either go straight left or right isn't always intuitive, but if you think about what track am I going to put behind me, it's a little bit easier. There's no such thing as a sharp turn. Everything's pretty gentle. We haven't gotten to the age of sharp turns where we know how to make track or trains that turn that easily. One thing this game does that's pretty brutal is it always rounds down. So when dividing something, whatever's the worst option is the option you take, and I always think that's pretty brutal. One last thing about the rulebook itself, it was very formal and a little bit unnatural. Not to say that it wasn't well written, but there were some times where the sentence structure felt a little bit forced, and it could have been in a more casual tone, but I do know that this rulebook was printed in a different era where it wasn't so much used to talk directly to somebody as it was very much like manual style, this is how you do things. But all in all, it's a great game, highly recommend. It still can be a little intimidating to bring to tables, but it's definitely not as difficult as some other train games, and it's a really good way to get into train games and see if you like them, because it's not a very long commitment. Well, it says 60 to 90 minutes, so I'm going to assume it's about like 2 hours. But it's not a long commitment. It's got very pretty art. The colors of the locomotives makes it a little bit more fun. And once you start playing, it really pulls you in. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you hear, make sure to check out MCG on other social media platforms or go to madecraftgame.com for more content. And I hope you enjoy playing the game.